keeping the faith. The paradox of silver supply, demand, and sentiment. Interview with Andy Hoffman. The state of PM markets. Technical analysis. The ignorance of mainstream financial professionals keeping the faith in a bear market. What's new with Mile Franklin? What does silver have to do with an old horse named Doxology? You can connect with Andy by reaching out to him at mileshfranklin.com. Dr. Lewis. Hey guys. It's Jeff here with the 47 Forum and SilverCoinInvestor.com. It is a pleasure once again to interview Andy Hoffman from Mile Franklin. He is the director of marketing at Mile Franklin, but as many of you know, he's been involved in the precious metals community as a commentator and a writer for many years. Before that, he was involved. He comes from mainstream Wall Street. We sat down and talked for a little while, and I wanted to share this with you. Dr. Lewis, do you read much fiction? Andy, I read much fiction. That's all I read. Dr. Lewis, really? Andy, yeah. I get enough of it reading millions and millions of depressing real articles. I probably read more than anyone because I'm on the Stairmaster in the gym all the time. I read dozens and dozens of fiction books. Dr. Lewis, did you ever read East of Eden by John Steinbeck? Andy, long time ago. Dr. Lewis, well, I think you should read it again. Andy, that was actually, I thought, it was so long ago I can't even remember it, but I remember I liked it more than Grapes of Wrath. Dr. Lewis, oh, yeah, it's way better. I think it's his best. I'm obsessed with it. I'm reading it again probably for the fourth time. I'm reading it to my 8-year-old and my 6-year-old. The 6-year-old doesn't really get it, but my 8-year-old, who's a girl and more emotionally mature, she's following the story. It's really on so many levels it is, I think, a masterpiece. If you are already on the treadmill or the Stairmaster, Andy, the stair climber, Dr. Lewis, the stair climber, then this deserves a rehash. East of Eden is Steinbeck's allegory retelling the story of Cain and Abel, but hinging on the passage "Thou shalt versus thou mayest." There's a particular passage. It's a lead-in passage to a climax in the story where the main character, Samuel Hamilton, reveals a secret to another one of the main characters, Adam Trust. A fairly dramatic secret. The lead-in passage is a discussion around Samuel Hamilton's old 33-year-old horse called Doxology. The way he describes this horse, and I'll quote just a little bit, he has an iron mouth and he still fights the crupper with a saddle. He feels as though he was riding a sled over a gravel pit. He can't trot. He stumbles over his feet when he walks. I never in 33 years found one good thing about him. He even has an ugly disposition. He is selfish and quarrelsome and mean and disobedient. To this day, I don't dare walk behind him because he will surely take a kick at me. When I feed him mash, he tries to bite my hand, and I love him. This passage, you know, it's a beautifully written passage, but it also makes me think of silver in the description, because silver is often the ugly, red-headed stepchild that the investment community wants nothing to do with and will scorn it at any given chance or given point. Andy, yet there's all-time high demand and inventories and production are plunging. People can hate it all they want, but it's not going down anymore. Certainly not materially down. Eventually, it's going to break out. It's just really Americans that don't look at it. On that, we can talk about it anyway, but I would not characterize it as a red-headed stepchild because there's all-time demand. That would imply that it is unloved and no one wants it when the U.S. Mint is constantly shutting down and we're running out of product and inventories are going to nothing. We lost 20% of the inaudible 0 hours for minutes and 26 seconds silver inventory in one day last week. There's almost nothing left. That's one way of looking at it, but Americans just, the few Americans that have money just don't care about gold because it hasn't gone up. In 2011, we had huge amounts of phone calls. In fact, we're getting phone calls like crazy in the past few weeks and it's barely gone up, which is why the cartel does what it does. Even the slightest bit. My God, 1200. We'd run out of metal at 1200 if the demand would be so high. Dr. Lewis, you just characterized this record demand, historic demand. The question is, are you seeing from a silver standpoint? Are you guys getting calls? Because many characterize this demand as, well, the mint is on pace for another record this year, but people say there really isn't yet a retail demand. People aren't going to coin shops like they were between 2008 and 2011. There isn't a retail sense of this. You just mentioned that gold moved up a little bit and now you guys are getting calls the last couple of weeks. Is that happening with silver too? Candy. Yeah. It's always more with silver because it's more undervalued and people see the shortages. Starting to see the premiums. Certainly junk silver is starting to see the premiums go up. Again, retail demand worldwide is at an all-time high. Retail demand in the United States was at an all-time high in silver in 2013, 14 and 15. Now, whether that was Americans actually buying it, I don't know, from the US and Canadian mint. I don't believe it was Americans that bought it. I believe it was foreigners because based on our business trends which, as you mentioned, peaked. We have spurts like when we had a massive shortage last summer and spring of 2013. With the exceptions of spurts like that which are always after big cartel smashes. Like last summer, remember we had gold went down $52 in 5 minutes on a Sunday night and right after that, we had a surge of buying. Besides those spurts, we've only had declining demand since 2011. That was the peak of our demand. That said, we've had record sales of the U.S. Mint, of the Canadian Mint, of Indian imports. I'm sure the Chinese numbers, if we ever knew what they were, would be very high. You have a record retail demand around the world. Institutional demand hasn't gone anywhere. Institutions like you're talking about the red-headed stepchild. They won't even look at gold and silver until it's going up and going up a lot. Once they do, the intensity of the buying every time prices go down and the intensity of when they go up even the slightest bit as we've seen in the past couple of weeks just gets more and more each time. That's why we were just saying. It's gotten to the point we're $1,124 right. Gold was $1,200 in a couple of weeks. I bet you the phones would be so off the hook. We'd have another shortage of silver just like we had last summer. Last summer was the biggest shortage that we've had since 2008 and we had. In 2008. We ran out of product for 3 months and premiums went to 100%. We also had a huge shortage in April and May of 2013, which was our biggest month ever. Our biggest quarter ever was this third quarter of 2015 after a cartel smashing. That's with the price all the way down here. If we had a $1,200 gold and pick the number 17, some tiny little number, or 18 for silver would be crazy. We would have no product. We'd have a huge shortage of silver. Gold eventually follows, and if we have crisis, which we're in the early stages of one, I fully believe with all of my heart. I believe that this is the year that the powers that be lose control of markets, of control, all that stuff. When that happens, I believe that we